This program is brought to you by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries. Coming up next on Changing Your World.
The Bible warns us that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So peace is not the absence of trouble. It is possible to be in the midst of the biggest crisis in your life and still experience peace. Wow. Why? Because we have Jesus in the midst of the biggest crisis in our life.
Men, it's our time to rise to another level at the 2020 Mentality Conference. Join us online September 11th and 12th for two power-packed days with three dynamic speakers.
When you find the will of God for your life, it's the greatest, most peaceful adventure.
You don't want to miss out on this revival of manhood. Mark your calendars and register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of St. John, chapter 14 and verse 27. We'll read it in the King James and the New Living Translation. And tonight we're going to talk about peace, but not just, you know, the fact that you need some peace, but we're going to talk about, I call this tonight, Jesus' peace is successful peace. Jesus' peace is successful peace. Peace. Or you can say Jesus' peace equals successful peace. And we're really going to go over this because this should be highly demanded in the lives of Christian people right now. There's a lot of confusion going on, a lot of stress out in the world because of the pandemic. A lot of wondering if you're being lied to or if you're being told the truth. The spirit of division like never before. And in the middle of all of that chaos, you know, the Bible says where there is envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. In the middle of all of that, I tell you what, there is a high demand, or should be a high demand, for successful peace. And the only way your peace is going to be successful is that it is Jesus' peace. So let's begin to just lay this out for you. Let's start in verse 27. The King James Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking here. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now look what he says, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus says, "It's my peace." Now we got to figure that out. "Peace I leave with you," he said, "it's my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth." So we're not talking about worldly peace. We're talking about peace that comes by being in Jesus. We're talking about the peace that comes by being in relationship with Jesus. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he says, "I give you peace so you won't let your heart be troubled. I give you peace so you won't be afraid. I give you Jesus' peace because it's successful peace and your heart will not be troubled." Now look at this in the New Living Translation, John chapter 14 and verse 27. The New Living Translation says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart." Notice, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. "And the peace I give is a gift." The peace I give is a gift. The world cannot give. It's a gift the world cannot give. So first of all, when Jesus says, "I'm giving you peace as a gift," that now means we have to appropriate or take possession of the gift. We have to take possession of the gift. How? By faith. So by faith, I take possession of the gift of peace that the world cannot give. The world cannot give this gift. So there's a clear distinction between the gift of peace that comes from Jesus and what the world calls peace. He says, so since you have this gift of peace that came by Jesus, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. So here's my way out of trouble. Here's my way out of being afraid. Receive the gift of peace. If today, if tonight you have felt afraid, if today you have felt troubled, he says, here's your way out. Receive by faith the gift of peace. Come on, say this out loud with me. I receive by faith the gift of peace. Amen. So that's where it starts, with your faith. All right. Now, let's look at St. John 16:33. I want to share these three scriptures with you first. So Jesus leaves us a gift of peace, but if we don't take possession of that gift by faith, then it's like anything else. If you got money in the bank and you don't take possession of that money that's in the bank, then you'll live like a pauper. It'll just not do you any good. Now look what he says in John 16:33. John 16:33, you're familiar with it. He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Oh, wow. So he says, you find peace in him, in Jesus, you might have peace. So he says, in the world you shall have trouble. In this world you'll have tribulation. Can I get a witness? In this world you're going to have tribulation. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Listen, you're not going to be able to live in this world and not face down tribulation and persecution. In the world you'll have tribulation, trouble, persecution. He says, but be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. He says, you find this in him. You find in him peace. You find in him peace. You find in him peace. This kind of peace you'll not find anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else but in him. And then look at St. John 20, St. John chapter 20. And I want to look at these verses. I want to look at verse 19, verse 21, and verse 26. St. John 20, 19, 21, and 26. All right, now watch this. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and he stood in the midst of them. So this is, you know, after Jesus had been crucified, dead and buried, and then they said that the door was shut, and Jesus came, the door being shut, and he said unto them, peace unto you. Get a hold of this picture. The door is shut. They're thinking that Jesus is dead for good. Jesus is raised from the dead. He walks through the door being shut. And here's what he said. Once he showed up in the room, he said, peace be unto you. So you have to equate peace with Jesus. When Jesus showed up, peace showed up. When Jesus showed up, peace showed up. Is Jesus showing up in your life? Are you allowing him to show up in your situations? Are you allowing him to show up in your circumstances? Are you allowing Jesus to show up in your everyday living? Because when Jesus shows up, peace shows up. As you begin to have relationship with him, as you begin to have relationship with the Word, as you begin to have relationship in your prayer time, when Jesus shows up, peace shows up. Now look at the next verse, verse 21. He says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Look at what Jesus said. He said, peace be unto you. He's trying to get them to get it. I'm peace. I'm the gift. Peace be unto you. And then look at verse 26. He says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to share these scriptures with you because this gift of peace is unto us. We have Jesus, we have peace. We have Jesus, we have peace. You can't find peace in your material possessions. You can't find peace in your friends. You can't find peace in the stock market. The only place you're going to be able to find peace is in Jesus. So what is peace? Well, let's talk about what it's not. Peace is not an absence of trouble in your life. Yeah. And see, and the world thinks, well, I have peace because I don't have trouble in my life. And the Bible warns us, he says, in this world you'll have tribulation. The Bible warns us that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So peace is not the absence of trouble. It is possible to be in the midst of the biggest crisis in your life and still experience peace. Wow. Why? Because we have Jesus in the midst of the biggest crisis in our life. Look at Philippians 4 and 7, and then Colossians 3:15. Philippians 4 and 7, and then Colossians 3:15. So peace, remember, is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Jesus in your life, and that's so important. Look at verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." Notice what the peace of God does. It'll keep your heart and it'll keep your mind, but how? Through Christ Jesus. So it's through Christ Jesus that you will find the peace that will keep your heart and keep your mind. It's that relationship with Jesus, that relationship with His Word, that relationship in prayer that will keep your heart and your mind. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So God and His Word and the Word became flesh, Jesus. Listen, they're the same. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you find your peace. When you come home and you hear bad news and you get in the Word and you talk to Jesus and you rely on Him and you think of His love, and that's where you find your peace. And He says that will keep your mind, that will keep your heart. It's the peace that comes from God that passes all understanding. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Another translation says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart like an umpire." An umpire calls it safe, the umpire calls it out. Let the peace of God rule in your heart as an umpire. He says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." You know, we've got to learn how to live our lives and allow the peace of God to begin to guide our lives. Where there is no peace, then you probably don't have the confirmation to do the thing. You know, God's not on that thing where there is no peace. But where there is peace, you may want to consider, well, maybe God's on this thing right here. Peace can be like a guide. It can be like an umpire. You meet somebody and you consider marrying them, and you've never had peace about it, the umpire is saying, not safe. You meet somebody, and there's been the peace of God over your life, over it, and it's just been a peaceful thing, a peaceful relationship. Well, the umpire of peace is saying, safe. We would do ourselves a favor if we'll begin to pay attention to the umpire of peace. Let peace rule in your heart. That's the question tonight. Is peace ruling in your heart? Is peace ruling in your heart? You got to pay attention to when you get involved in business, you get involved in relationships, you get involved in a plan or something, and you just don't have any peace. I just don't have no peace about it. I don't know why. Well, you not having peace is enough. You don't have to know why. That'll be revealed to you later on. Let peace rule. And if peace is not ruling, you might want to cancel that wedding. You might want to cancel that transaction. You might want to cancel that investment. You want peace to begin to rule in your heart as an umpire. So that's the true kind of peace that you can experience with Jesus. Peace that surpasses your understanding. That the peace that comes in your experience with Jesus, and you don't even understand why you're at peace. You know, the doctor just said you have cancer, but you have peace because of your experience with Jesus, and you know your healing's available. you have peace. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. So, naturally speaking, it does not make sense for you to feel completely at rest and at peace when you are in a dire straits. But supernaturally, you can be filled with peace. That's good to know. Supernaturally, you can be filled with peace. So the world defines peace as harmony. They define peace as tranquility based on what is happening in the sensory realm. And that the world defines peace based on your comfort. But we can have peace because we're in Jesus even when we're not comfortable. We can have peace in Christ Jesus even when, you know, we don't have the harmony or the tranquility. So that's the world's way of defining it. In the world, you have to have comfort. In the world, you've got to have tranquility based on what is happening in the sensory realm. So if it's not happening right in this sense natural realm, then you don't have any peace. Man, that's a powerful thing. That's really what it means to be holy. When they're walking around with no peace, we have peace. When they can only have peace when things are comfortable, we can have peace even in the midst of things that are not comfortable. Why? It's our experience with Jesus that allows that to happen. And so Jesus can touch what you are feeling inside, and then he can turn that turmoil into his peace. He can touch what you're feeling on the inside. Emotions are about to just kind of really, you know, react in a negative way. But Jesus can touch those feelings on the inside, and he can turn that turmoil that's on the inside of you into peace. That's powerful. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but when you're just freaking out on the inside and you immediately go to Jesus, you invite him into the situation, you invite his word in that situation, he turns the turmoil, he turns the confusion, and he turns it into peace. And I've been in those situations. I mean, the death of a loved one, when you would think you would be all over the place, but he touches those feelings on the inside and he turns it into peace. Not knowing how to deal with this particular lack, not knowing how to pay this particular bill, and Jesus touches those feelings on the inside and he turns it into peace. And so with Jesus, transformation is always from inside out and not from outside in. The world, their peace, you know, starts on the outside and then comes in. Those of us who see our peace in Jesus, that transformation takes place from the inside out. Look at Psalms 29 and 11, because the Lord will give strength to his people. Praise God. God will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace, with wholeness, with shalom. I believe that. He said, look at this scripture. This is something good to hold on to. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with what? With peace. The Lord will bless. That word bless means empowered to have success. God will empower us with peace so we can have success. And there it is again. Now use your faith to take possession of that. God will empower me to have success. Say that out loud. God empowers me to have success. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus gives us peace. Jesus gives us security. Jesus gives us covering. Jesus gives us protection. Even in the midst of the storm, listen to these synonyms of peace. Security. Peace is security in the midst of turmoil. Peace is security in the middle of the trouble. Peace is a covering. You know, it's a covering from all of the things that might be happening. And I like to say it like this. He's got you covered. He's got you covered, praise God. He's got you covered. Peace is that protection, even in the midst of all those things that can happen. I'm reminded of Psalms 91. Turn there real quick. Psalms 91 and verse 1, go to 1 and 4. We're covered, praise God. He's got us covered. And by knowing this, by understanding that you're covered, and listen, I hope you hear me when I say, things have been made available But you got to take it. You got to take it. You got to take possession of it. That's your faith. That's your faith that says, I believe that. That's your faith that says, I'm going to meditate on that, and until that's, I'm going to ponder that until that's just moving all on the inside of me. I will take possession of that. Verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or live under the shadow, that shadow of Almighty God. That's your covering. Verse 4, he says, he shall cover thee with his feathers. So we're covered with the shadow of the Almighty God. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. See, God's got you covered. God's got you under his protection. God's got you under his security. And, you know, people will not be able to understand why in the midst of a hard time you look like you're at peace. Why are you not freaking out? Why are you not tripping out? Because, first of all, you know that you have the peace of God because you have Jesus. You have Jesus' peace, which means you have successful peace. And just by knowing that brings a calmness. Just by knowing that brings an ease, praise God. God's got you covered. Now, it does not matter what circumstances may be raging around you. You can cry to the Lord for his unmerited favor, just like David did. You can cry to the Lord. That would be so awesome. Every time some weird thing came up in your life, weird circumstance, unexpected thing, just imagine this, that immediately you go to God. Immediately you go to God and you cry unto the Lord. Look at Psalms 57 and 1. I tell you, something really happens when God becomes your first move. It's kind of like playing chess. He becomes your first move. He becomes your first choice. You know, you don't need A, B, C, D, which one you're going to choose. It's always him. You always go to him. And in Psalms 57, 1, he says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Listen to David cry this. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. You know what God is, you know what God is saying here? He's saying in the midst of calamities, find that Jesus peace. Find that covering. Find that protection. Find that security in the midst of turmoil until all this stuff pass. And even in the midst of this pandemic, I've had to cry before God, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, God. And I have to see myself in his peace, that all is well. All is going to be fine. And I have to open my mouth up and make my confessions every day because what am I doing? I am laboring to stay at peace. I am laboring to stay in peace, praise God. I'm covered by his security. Be merciful, praise God. Now, even when destruction is around us, we can take refuge in the Lord. See, that's the thing. God is my refuge and my fortress. So where do you go when your peace is under attack? Where do you go when your life is under attack? Where do you go when the fear of the pandemic knocks on the door? I go to him. I go to Jesus, man. I go to him. He's where I end up. I have to go to him. I'm not going to allow this fear to take over my life. So when destruction is around us, we can take refuge. It's kind of like when it's raining, you can take refuge under a porch. My dog, when it rains, he finds refuge, protection, security. Peace. Now, you got to decide. This is a decision on you. You're going to either start your day with Jesus or you're going to start your day with the news. And, man, it's a lot better if you start your day with Jesus. If you start your day with all the bad news of the world instead of starting your day with Jesus, you're going to feel the impact of that throughout the day. Start your day with Jesus, practicing his presence, acknowledging him, committing your plans to him, and trusting him for his unmerited favor, trusting him for his wisdom and strength for the day. You can have great success even in the middle of this pandemic. You don't have to wait till the pandemic is over before you prosper, before you have success, before you go to the next level, before you get ahead in life. If you can practice the presence of Jesus in the midst of this, so you can lay around all day, listen to 24-hour bad news, or you can take advantage of getting in the presence of Jesus, practicing His presence, getting in His Word, spending time in prayer, spending time in praise, ready to write down the instructions that'll come from Him, and you can actually get promotion in the middle of a pandemic. Some of our members are doing that. We're getting testimonies sent in. People are prospering and being promoted and being successful in the middle of a pandemic because they are choosing Jesus update versus the latest virus update. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? How are you going to choose some things? Look at Psalms 127 and 2. Psalms 127 and verse 2. This is so, so very important. He says, "It's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows." The bread of sorrow. You know, the bread of the world equals the bread of sorrows. To eat the bread of sorrows, to eat all of the bad news and all of the ungodly stuff, he says, you know, it's vain. That bread of sorrows is keeping you up in the morning and late at night. You can't rest. He says, "For so God giveth His beloved sleep." See, while they're up worrying about what was reported and they're up, you know, up late trying to worry about what was reported, and they're eating the bread of sorrow, in the meantime, God gives His beloved sleep. And if you are a born-again Christian, you are accepted into the beloved. You are His beloved. And you need to expect good sleep. God gives His beloved sleep. Praise God. And if you're not sleeping, man, you need to back up and say, what is it that have I been eating the bread of sorrow? Which is the bread of this world. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the bread of life. And you want to eat the bread of life, not the bread of the world, not the bread of sorrow. You want to eat the bread of life. Amen. And so one of the things we have to do that's going to really help us out in this area, we got to put a guard over our eye and our ear gates. The eye gate and the ear gate. That's the entrance into a man's heart. And if you can guard the entrance into the man's heart, you can guard your heart. Some unknowingly feed on the knowledge of good and evil. People feed on the knowledge of good and evil. You know what that represents? That represents the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when you feed on the knowledge of good and evil, versus feeding on the person of Christ. And you know, when you feed on the person of Christ, that's the tree of life. So one, you get nothing when you feed on the knowledge of the tree, when you feed on the knowledge, when you feed on good and evil, or the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, you get nothing but fear and frustration and panic. And the other, you get wisdom and knowledge and unmerited favor. So you choose. You choose. You choose to feed on the bread of sorrow and get yourself all filled with frustration and get yourself all filled with fear and get yourself filled all with panic, or you can feed on Jesus Christ and feed on who He is and get wisdom and get knowledge and get unmerited favor. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. Man, I speak peace over your life. I speak peace over the circumstances that you are presently in. I speak peace over your family. I speak peace over your relationships, your children, your finances, your job. I speak peace. I speak peace over every member of this church, over every partner, over the World Changes Nation. I speak peace. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, he says, "My son," now watch this, "my son, attend to my words." He is saying, give your attention to my words. He says, how do I do that? Incline your ears unto my sayings. Hear it. Incline your ears to my saying. Let them words not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Well, how do you do that? Through your ear gate and your eye gate, you can keep it in the midst of your heart. If you are keeping it before your eyes and you're keeping it in your ears, then you keep it in the midst of your heart. Somebody thought, well, I ain't gonna do all that. I ain't got time for that. Well, you don't have time to have Jesus peace. You don't have time to have successful peace. You know, this is not a part-time deal. Well, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna have something to do with God, you know, later on. This ain't a part-time deal. It's something you set your mind to do. It's something you have declared, I'm gonna live this way. And when you live this way, it's not that you're trying to be spiritually deep, but I gotta guard what goes in my ears. It's not that you're trying to be spiritually deep, but I gotta guard what goes in my eyes, because that stuff will get in my heart, man. And it'll disrupt my peace, and I'm not gonna let that happen. I said this over and over again, if it costs you your peace, it's too expensive. The drama that you've been around lately, is it costing you your peace? It's too expensive. You need to just stay in the presence of God. That's just too expensive. Yeah, but Brother Dollar, you're just being a little bit too deep. No, I'm talking about how to live. I mean, you got to make your own choice. But I don't want to be in turmoil. I don't want to come out in frustration and panic and all that other stuff. And thank God I know what to do when that stuff comes in my life. I don't spend time with it. I know what to do. I know what to shut off. I know what to step away from. I know what to focus my eyes on and my ears on, so I can get the successful peace, so I can get the Jesus peace. And look what he says, next verse. He says, for they are life. Those words are life unto those that find them. Those words are health to all their flesh. See, the Word of God is so powerful. It not only brings life to you, praise God, but it also impacts your physical body. Your flesh is impacted by spending time in that Word. You got to understand, spending time in the presence of God will impact your very physical body. It'll give life to you. It won't give stress to you. It brings peace to you. There's something about spending time in that Word that brings a calm in your life, that brings an ease in your life. But you'll never know it because you know if you don't do it. Well, I ain't got time to spend in the Word. Well, you ain't got time to have Jesus' peace. Well, I just don't believe it take all that. Well, you're going to find out that it does take some initiative on your part to release your faith and get in the Word. Why do you think we have the Bible so we can just bring it to church on Sunday? This is our bread of life. Jesus is our bread of life. And we have to feed on that bread of life and thus walk in peace and walk in health. It's health to all of our flesh. It adds life. It adds life. Do you know it's time in that Word increases your life? It increases your lifespan. Why? Because getting in that Word brings you peace. Getting in that Word takes distress away. Getting in that Word allows you to be in a place of calm and ease, and that's how you increase your life. Amen. It's paying attention to Jesus. Give attention to my Word. It's paying attention to Jesus. Are you paying attention to Jesus? You see, the more we hear and see Jesus, the healthier and the stronger we become. Our mortal bodies become infused with His resurrection life and with His resurrection power. So we receive Jesus's, watch this, the Greek word for peace, shalom. We receive Jesus's shalom for every stress in life. We receive His shalom, praise God. He says, the best way to know if you are embroiled in the things of this world is to be objective and to ask yourself this one simple question, is my heart troubled? Is my heart troubled? Because the number one killer in the modern world today is stress. And throughout this pandemic, you've got to keep up with that. Is my heart troubled? Now, you be as deep as you want to. Is my heart troubled? Okay, I'm gonna get some ice cream. Heart still troubled. I'm gonna go watch 50 movies on Netflix. Heart still troubled. Is your heart troubled? Because we have a solution for a troubled heart. It's Jesus. The Hebrew lexicon describes shalom, and I think I said Greek, but it's Hebrew. The Hebrew lexicon describes shalom as completeness, shalom as safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment, peace used of human relationships, peace with God, especially in covenant relationships, and peace from war. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what God wants to bring to your life. Let me read that again. He wants to bring completeness, safety, soundness, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment. All these words are translated, this Hebrew word, shalom. So the peace Jesus gives sets you up for success in life. The peace that Jesus gives will set you up for success in life. And I know a lot of you are interested in being successful. It really does start off with having a life of peace. Imagine the things you miss from heaven. Imagine the transmissions that you miss that go over your head because you're so stressed out, because there's no peace in your life. You can change that. The peace Jesus gives sets you up for success in life. You cannot be a success in family. You cannot be a success in your marriage, your career, when you are crippled and paralyzed with fear. You can't. Fear cannot be a part of your journey to your success. Paranoid and panic, you gotta let it go. God's got you. God's got you. Now remember, faith is a positive response to what grace has made available. You don't have faith because you choose to go to a snake church or you choose to go to a place where everybody's got coronavirus. That's not faith. No. Faith responds to what Jesus has made available. And Jesus has made his peace available. And I'm going to respond to that peace by, first of all, receiving it by faith. And as I walk in peace, then I can hear transmissions. I can be led by God. I can have the wisdom of God when it comes to doing things. See, we've reduced peace to some action that we do, and peace is not some action more than it is a person that we believe. And that's so very, very, very important. You can act out on something and not even believe the thing you need to believe. No, I believe Jesus. I trust in Jesus. I take hold of this peace because I trust in Jesus, and then he'll begin to tell me what to do. People are going to get in trouble because they don't know how to define faith, and they're going to be doing something that's foolish or presumptuous, and it's not faith. And I'm letting everybody know, you better make sure that what you're doing is faith and not foolishness and not presumptuous. Amen. Amen. And like I said, don't you go to commenting on who opened up the church and who didn't open up the church. Oh, they must be in fear. Oh, now you call that really faith. Learn how to tend to your business. Be persuaded in your own way and leave everybody else alone. I've said that a couple of times because let peace rule in your heart. Let peace rule in your heart. And that's where I'm doing where our church is concerned. I'm letting peace rule in my heart. Peace is going to be my umpire. I don't need anybody in the government telling me when I need to open the church. The church has always been open. The building's the only thing that's closed. The church has never been closed. Like I said Sunday, God is an online God. Amen. Just as well. So don't even get involved in all of that. All of that does is rob your peace. Develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at home. That's why church is not all it needs to be, because we don't take our relationship with Jesus serious at home. Now we can take our relationship with Jesus serious at home. What are you doing at home? Because it's what you do in secret that we're going to see the result of it openly. But, you know, people were so busy coming to the building, they were not spending quality time with God at home. That's where your relationship is developed. Your relationship is developed at home, not in the church building, at home. Spend time praying at home. Spend time reading at home. Hear God at home. Lay hands on people in your home. And what happens? When that home fellowship is right, then when it's time to come to the building, man, we'll have a much more powerful corporate anointing because of what we're doing at home. You nobody should be talking about, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Y'all need to hurry up and open the church because I'm just dying spiritually. Well, that's your fault. This is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can have praise service personally at home. I did this morning. You can have praise service personally at home. You don't need to come to this building to do it. You are the church, and no devil in hell can close you down. So go ahead and have peace in your home. Have great relationship in your home. Deal with some of those inconsistencies and frustrations and irritations in your family. When the family church is right and the home church is right, and when everybody's walking in the Word, reading the Word, praying in the Spirit, spending time trusting God there, boy, we're going to be amazing when we come back to the building. So, amen. I hope I answered your question. Praise God. All right, now watch this. This is so very important. The peace Jesus gives will set you up for success in life. Now, you cannot be successful in any of those things, in your family, in your marriage, and in your career, when you are crippled and paralyzed with fear. So you got to let the fear go. All fears that you are experiencing in your life today, listen to this, they begin with an untruth. It began with a lie that you have somehow believed that lie. The fear that you're not going to be healed. Well, that started with a lie. The fear that you're not going to be able to take care of your household. When God said, I'll supply all your needs according. See, what the enemy wants to do is he wants you to walk in the number one fear of the believer, the number one fear of the Christian, and that is, I am afraid that what God promised won't come to pass. You cannot receive that. You have to have peace where the promises are concerned. I'm afraid that what God promised, I'm afraid that what His Word said won't happen. You can't let that take place in your life. No fear. No fear. You got to trust God loves you enough that He'll do what He said. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 John 4 and verse 18. See, when you are afraid that what God promised won't come to pass, immediately now you will allow that fear to push you into self-preservation, and now through your own efforts, you'll be out there trying to make things happen. You've excused and expelled God out of your life, and then you trust yourself more than you do God, because you're afraid that what was promised won't come to pass. He said in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so, you know, to be made perfect in love, I believe that God loves me enough that He will keep His promise. I believe that God loves me so much that He will heal me. Because I know He loves me, I know He'll heal me. Because I know He loves me, I know He will deliver me. Because I know He loves me, I know He will protect me. I know He'll be my security. I know He will be my covering, because I know that He loves me. And so what happens is your love is under attack. You got to believe the love. God loves me and I know it. Therefore, I believe what He says. I believe what He promised. I believe His love. And so a revelation of unmerited favor and love of Jesus will cast out every fear. It'll cast out every lie. It'll cast out every anxiety, every doubt, and every worry that God is against you. It'll cast it out. Get a revelation of the love of God. Get a revelation of the favor of God. God loves you. God wants to favor you. God loves you so much He gave His only Son, the most valuable thing that heaven had to offer. And so you get a revelation of that. And that love will cast out fear. You'll begin to think, wait a minute, why am I sitting here thinking that God's going to leave me by myself? He loves me. Wait a minute, I know He said I had cancer, but God loves me. I'll be healed. I mean, when the doctor told me I had cancer, first thing I thought about was, God loves me. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not going to sit up there and let fear knock on the door and say, well, you know, I don't know if God loves you because, you know, you ain't been praying an hour. No, God loves me. I know that He is love, and I'm looking for His love. I'm looking for His love, and I know I'll be healed. I know He'll take care of me. I know He'll be my supply house because I'm looking for His love. The shalom of Jesus is on your side to make you a success in life. The shalom of Jesus is on your side. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's awesome. That's awesome. The shalom of Jesus, nothing missing, nothing broken, whole. You know what it means to be whole? There's nothing missing, nothing broken in your life. You are whole in your spirit, whole in your soul, whole in your physical body, whole in your relationships, whole in your prosperity, whole in your in your relationship with your children, whole. Peace. Shalom.
True contentment can only be found in Jesus Christ. In His brand new two-message series, What is True Contentment?, Creflo Dollar shares what makes contentment that is pleasing to God. Get your copy right now for your gift of just $15 or more.
After you get the big house you always dreamed up, then what? After you get all the fame that you dreamed up, then what? After everybody knows your name, then what? I do not find my contentment in what people think about me or what they say about me. My contentment is in Christ, and that's what this Bible says. That's powerful. To know you can live in a discontent world and still be satisfied.
Add the Radical Abiding in the Word mini book to make a combo today and get all of these transformative resources for your gift of $25 or more.
Men, it's our time to rise to another level at the 2020 Mentality Conference. Join us online September 11th and 12th for two power-packed days with three dynamic speakers.
When you see Him, you will see His righteousness. When you see His righteousness, you will see your sin, and it will leave you no other choice but to put your faith in the finished works of Christ.
See, the more that you become you, the less things you entertain, because you are on a mission.
When you find the will of God for your life, it's the greatest, most peaceful adventure that you'll ever have.
We will get raw and uncut and receive real-life resolutions at the 2020 Mentality Conference. You don't want to miss out on this revival of manhood. Mark your calendars and register now at CreflowDollarMinistries.org.
We never want to assume that all of you are born-again Christians. Being born-again is the key to experiencing God's promises in your life. It's the most important decision you can make. I want to say a prayer of salvation with any of you who would like to receive the gift of salvation. Pray with me and just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that Jesus was the payment for my sins, that He was the sin offering, and I receive Him as my peace offering. Jesus, come into my heart, save me, and today by faith, I receive You and declare that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. Call the number on the screen, and we want to provide some information for you that will help you as you begin your new walk with Jesus Christ.
If you prayed the prayer of salvation with Creflo Dollar today, congratulations! We have a free CD and mini book available to help you understand salvation and learn what comes next. If you would like these resources, please call the number on your screen today.
There is a purpose for your life, and you are meant to do great things. The key to reaching your destiny is to grow in your understanding of God's grace. Introducing Grace Life Academy, an innovative approach to learning God's Word. Grace Life Academy offers unlimited access with hundreds of hours of online teachings from Creflo Dollar. For one low monthly subscription, you'll have access to comprehensive video Bible lessons that include features such as e-courses, study guides, an online community, quizzes, and more. In as little as 15 minutes a day, you can study God's Word, be encouraged, and learn how to study the Bible, how to overcome fear, how to better your relationships, and so much more. And the best news, it's free for 30 days. Now is the time for you to take control of your life and join Grace Life Academy. Text GLA to 51555 to get started right now, or go online to mygracelifeacademy.com.
Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe.